Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylights out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Ron Meyer, who is the author of The Bigfoot Singularity, and that's a book based on his research and evidence on the Bigfoot creature's origin. He's also worked on the Chasing Bigfoot documentary series, and now he's working on a feature film called The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Mate, you are... How are you doing? I'm very good, mate. You are a very busy person by the look of your resume.
Yes, I'm constantly producing stuff, and I like to write novels and keep busy.
So what actually got you into the whole world of, I guess, Bigfoot and the paranormal?
So I was actually hired by a company in the United States to produce a series on the Bigfoot phenomenon. You know, it's big business over here. I don't know if it is in Australia, but it certainly is here. You can get cute, cuddly Bigfoot furry bears, and you can get kids are enamored by it, and there's all sorts of Bigfoot involved in advertising. It's really huge. So I was approached to do a 6-part series on the Bigfoot phenomenon. What is it? What's its history? What was it about? And it was quite interesting. I got to talk to a lot of people who had experiences. The one thing I did notice is that when I interviewed them, and this, it was clear that they weren't lying. They were remembering something that happened. You know, they had some encounter, and they appeared to be telling the truth about their experience with it. At the same time, nobody had any real good, let's say, here's a nice picture of a Bigfoot. Here's some video you can use. You're probably familiar with the Patterson-Gimlin film, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I even talked to Bob Gimlin, who was there. He said that when that Bigfoot there turned and looked at him, he raised his gun. But I'm convinced that if it was a hoax, he wasn't in on the hoax. And of course, Patterson has passed away. And so there's no follow-up. A lot of people have claimed it was somehow staged and that was a suit, but, you know, that's still debated. And I found out that in the kind of the exploration of the series is that the phenomena is worldwide. You know, everybody seems to have some form of this kind of ape-like human creature that appears periodically to some people. Doesn't seem to have any technology. Just itself. People report interesting sorts of characteristics, like the ability to shapeshift or to disappear, reappear, sort of paraphysical qualities. We went to an encampment for families in Ohio, which is a state in the central part of the country where people bring their kids and they go out and do night ops and search for Bigfoot. It's a really big deal. And I went out on at least 3 Bigfoot hunts with professional people, investigations, all at night. And not much luck. People pointed out, well, here's a bent over tree. Perhaps that was done by a Bigfoot. We did get one wood knock.
We have a very similar creature down here in Australia, and we call it the Yowie. And it does a lot of the similar traits that a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch would do. And wood knocks is definitely one of the, I guess, the attributes that you would connect to the creature.
Yeah, so we were in the middle of nowhere, up in the mountains, the Rocky Mountains. And the person that was leading us did a couple raps on a tree. And we got a response, and then we did it again, and we got a response off in the distance. It was hard to believe that anybody was there. But later I learned that it wouldn't be too hard how would it be possible that some Bigfoot would be out there just waiting, to grab a stick and respond? And then it was made clear that they could make that noise with their mouth, and people can do the same thing, I noticed. So it's probably the response again in a wood knock is not from them knocking the wood, but from them making a noise with their mouth. There's a lot of accounts of Bigfoot mimicking voices of people and making all sorts of interesting sounds. Have you heard Ron Moorhead's Sierra sounds?
They are some of the most terrifying sounds that I've ever heard. I don't know how they stuck around for so long to record those things, because even now I'll play them back in broad daylight and I still get the heebie-jeebies when I hear that.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And of course, Ron Moorhead's in my new film. But so all the while I was operating, doing this series, Chasing Bigfoot, I was under the impression that what people were looking for and what I was looking for evidence of was a flesh and blood, some sort of human-like creature that was large and hairy. But towards the end of it, I came across one investigator who said, well, wait a minute, I think that they're not that. They are in some way, paranormal, non-human, perhaps paraphysical, that they're not flesh and blood creatures. So that, for some reason, that captured my imagination. I had no real evidence that was true, although I did mention it towards the end of the film, of the series, that it's a possibility. And I, I was paid to do this series, so I had done all this research, and I had this, I'd like to write science fiction. So I thought, well, I should write a book about that it's the fact that the Bigfoot are actually alien creatures, and create a science fiction story around the idea that they're moving towards a new evolutionary step. So that's basically kind of the theme of the book is what happens when these Bigfoot that have been around for quite a while, been learning, growing, developing, sometimes in connection with people, sometimes not. And now's the time they have to do something unusual to evolve into their next form. And there's a battle between 3 forces. One says, let's just kill all these people. We don't like, alien people or alien creatures. The other says, I'd like to capitalize on their technology and their abilities. And the third group, the good guys, want to help them do what they want to do. And so it becomes quite an exciting race to see what happens at the end.
Within writing that, I'm sure there's a lot of truth hidden within the fiction. Is that correct?
I hope so. People have said that have read it. People have responded saying I've kind of studied it. I've read it twice. But I had a lot of information about if they're paraphysical or paranormal or alien, these are the characteristics that you could expect to see or experience. And so I put a lot of that into the book, and a lot of the history of, you know, how the phenomena grew. And I'm also interested in non-human intelligence, of which, so what does it mean that you'd find another intelligence not like us, and you don't have the Star Trek Universal translator, and they don't have bodies like us, like the artificial intelligence? What motivates them? How can we understand their purpose? Could they ever really communicate with us? We know from artificial intelligence they can mimic us pretty well. But that doesn't mean that they're actually thinking in a language like English or... What do you guys speak in Australia? Yeah, you speak English. So I'm playing with a lot of that stuff in the novel.
Okay, it sounds really quite fascinating. Now, Ron, have you had any encounters in the real world that have, I guess, led you to, I guess, make some certain decisions in your book? Or essentially, have you had any encounters with Bigfoot while out filming?
So one of the well-known characteristics is that they're shapeshifters. Have you heard that?
Yeah, absolutely. So over here, we don't really have a name for it, but I believe over in the States, that could also be known as a skinwalker. Is that correct?
Yeah, skinwalkers are, you know, a Navajo phenomenon largely, but they're generally considered to be pretty evil. They're sort of a negative paranormal creature, if you want to look at it that way. In doing the movie, I ran into a Navajo police chief on a reservation, and as a young person, he saw one, and he shot it, didn't kill it, and it was up in a tree, and he chased it, but couldn't catch it. So there's a strong belief in it.
And I've actually read part of the Skinwalker Ranch book that is available, and I did hear of a story of a family that bought the Skinwalker Ranch farm, and they encountered this gigantic wolf that they shot multiple times, and they just couldn't kill it. Is that something that you encounter quite a bit, I guess, in your journeys discussing the Skinwalker?
I haven't discussed it, but I saw something like that. Do you want to hear the story?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we mentioned Ron Moorhead, right? The guy of the Sierra Sounds. I was up in Washington, the state of Washington, where he lives, and he was doing a book signing for his Quantum Bigfoot. It's a kind of an expose of the possibilities of Bigfoot somehow being interdimensional creatures. And I was driving to this casino where the book signing was, and I wanted to go there because they promised they would give me some nice female Bigfoot contactees for the book, for the film, I'm sorry, because I got a lot of guys, and I wanted a couple women. And so I'm driving from where, maybe over about 50 miles, and as I'm heading up to this place, I'm looking, I'm heading east, let's say, and across the divide, this giant wolf, white wolf-like creature just appeared out of nowhere, materialized. And I'm watching it, and it looks at me and almost makes, you know, kind of a personal contact, rears up and runs back down the road. And so, if I were to expect any kind of phenomenon like that, that would not be it. That surprised the hell out of me. And I was very excited.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So when I got to the casino and Moorhead was there and some other people who were Bigfooters, before the book signing, I was going to do the interviews. And they said, have you ever had any encounter? And I said, not until about 20 minutes ago. And then I described it to them, and they got really excited. And you could see that their hair was standing up on end, because the native people that ran the casino said, we've seen that too just recently.
Oh, really?
And then at one point, the person who was at the desk, a woman, came up, took me aside and said, that's a skinwalker you saw.
And So what's the, is the skinwalker a, like a bad omen, or is it just like you said earlier, is it just something that's pure evil that walks the earth?
I think the latter is closer to what people think, but this thing wasn't evil. It was very exciting, and it was conscious, and it was conscious of me, and yet there are other cars that obviously didn't see it. And it was at a distance, and it fit perfectly into the environment. It's the weirdest damn experience I could ever imagine.
And do you think there's a reason that it chose you?
So this is the argument I'm beginning to accept, and that is that all these encounters. So if they are alien, let's say they're alien in some way, right? That they're definitely smarter than us, because by definition they would have to be. So these contacts are designed for each individual person. For what person it's for, what purpose, it's unclear, but maybe it's to see, to change them, to expand their consciousness. Maybe they'll, if you don't freak out and be too weird, you'll get more. So I asked somebody who's you know, very steeped in this concept, and he said, the reason it appeared to you, he's approving of what you're doing with this film, whatever it is. So I thought that was good.
That must be a good feeling. It's kind of like that's a validation from, I guess, either a paranormal side of things, or, you know, even the, as you're alluding to, the extraterrestrial side of things, which is, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it made me feel good, because, you know, I've had non-dual experiences. Do you know what those are? They're where your self dissolves and you're one with the world. I don't want to say too, but you know that.
Is that more like an astral projection type of thing?
No, it's more like a oneness experience. The self dissolves. It's if you heard of flow, or the people get in the zone or the pocket, that kind of state of consciousness, where you experience the pure consciousness, the space in which every experience arises in itself, with sometimes with nothing in it, sometimes, but most of the time you're not in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I've had those kinds of things, but I would not consider those to be in the realm of paranormal.
So with you seeing this creature, have you seen anything else like that? Like, so you've been out on filming expeditions with the crew from Chasing Bigfoot. Did you ever encounter anything on there that kind of just made you go, this is 100% real? I cannot argue that this Bigfoot creature doesn't exist.
So I had two things I captured on film. Should I tell you that?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
One was, we went to this place. So the other kind of major theme I've seen is that there are these things, we just call them paranormal hotspots. They're places where aliens, you know, alien contact, alien ships, alien lights, ghosts, Bigfoot, every form of paranormal activity seems to be appearing in a fairly defined geographical area over a period of time, for whatever reason. That maybe there's a portal, vortexes, some opening to the other side, if you want to call it that. So at the end of the movie, I wanted to go to two of these places to see what I could get on film. So one was a place called the House of Mystery up in Montana, which is northern part of the country. And the guy who runs the thing says he told me that he regularly saw orbs quite frequently, could take pictures of them. And at times he would see what are called like UFO crafts come out of a mountain nearby, and that he had a relationship, was well habituated to a Bigfoot, a big one. And that at one point, one of the tourists there got a picture of his hairy arm, and he got something on his kind of like a trail cam that he put inside his House of Mystery that may or may not be a very good could be one of the better representations of capturing Bigfoot. But, you know, when you got a trail cam, they're not really great pictures. So we were, you know, trying to cover all these things. We did get some orbs that they could take pictures of, but we couldn't get with our camera. It was very strange. I mean, we were surrounded by orbs. I didn't feel anything in particular. But when they showed the pictures, they took like a minute or so later in a sequence of pictures in less than a second, these orbs appeared. So that was kind of cool.
So the orbs would show up in the picture, but you couldn't see them there in person.
That's right.
That's fascinating.
So that's pretty common. But at one point, Joe Hauser is the guy who runs it. He's kind of well-known in the interdimensional paranormal Bigfoot circles. Was in the House of Mystery, where there's some weird gravitational things. And he's talking about that the Bigfoot, this is where he got it on the trail cam, and he said the Bigfoot likes to show up right here at times, you know, I can feel his presence and likes his spot. And I was filming outside the thing through a window, you know, so I could get a nice wide perspective on what he was saying. And when I got back into our edit suite, looking at the footage, there was this weird white thing that came into the frame, out of the bottom of the frame, came right by him, went up right around a couple other people who Joe was talking to and kind of out the top of the building. And when we slowed it down, what we had was a kind of pure white.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Pure white, kind of like a fairy moth creature of good size. And it was the brightest thing in the frame. And the light was coming the other way, so... You know what I mean? But the sun was shining in the other way, so it wasn't illuminated by the light, the sunlight. So it was like self-illuminating. And I showed it to quite a few people, and nobody can explain it. And, of course, I suppose you could do it with CGI, but we didn't do that. And it showed up exactly at the moment when Joe says, it likes to come here and be right here.
So you're saying this... When you looked at this ball of light, you could actually see like a physical person or a physical thing within it.
I could see a perfect like fairy moth of the size of about your hand that flew through and by everybody. They didn't seem to see it, but I captured it for sure on the camera. And like I said, there's no way it could have been that illuminated. There was no light source for it to illuminate it.
So do you think that creature is operating on a different light frequency?
So in some sense, somebody who said that these creatures, from their experience and reports, that they have a sense of humor. So he's talking about this big 7-foot hairy creature, and it shows up as a little tiny fairy moth instead, just to mess with us.
That's great. That's actually fantastic.
So I have that. I have that. That footage itself on the web on YouTube. I have a Bigfoot Alien channel. You can go look at it. It was quite remarkable. It blew my mind. It made me a believer. That was and that I saw that before I had my experience I was describing to you. And then should I go on to the second one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's another hot spot that's way south in the state of Oregon along the west coast. And I don't know if this geography means anything to you, but it's kind of close. Well, it's the next state up from California. And there's a famous trackway called these tracks went out, Bigfoot tracks went out into this area of a reservoir that was sort of drained, so it was muddy. And called the London Trackway, and there was like 120 tracks that went out and came back. So one of the things about Bigfoot tracks is that they almost always are let's say they appear out of nowhere, they go for a while, and then they disappear. I actually had a group of some tracks that were on my land. I have owned some land in the mountains, and we were following these tracks that just came out of nowhere and went nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? So there's
It's kind of like the creatures just appeared and disappeared mid-stride.
Yeah. So it's mostly you'll see one of the characteristics of almost all these encounters is that they're very short. You don't sit there and watch a Bigfoot like for 20 minutes.
No, not at all. And it's very much the same down here in Australia. I've spoken to plenty of people who have had Yowie encounters, and they say that they've actually just seen the creature disappear right in front of them. It would walk across like a bush track or something like that. And they said it'll take 3 or 4 steps and it just disappears.
And so, you know, most ghost encounters are the same way, are they not?
Yeah, most definitely.
And, you know, Bigfoot howls, pretty much anything that's, or even alien shots of, you know, sightings of crafts are usually pretty short, although, you know, like the Phoenix Lights, there are ones where people look at them for quite a while, but pretty much they're pretty brief, and often they're just for an individual, one person. It's not like 20 people see the thing. So this seems to be, again, and one of the people I talked to said, well, you don't see these things about, you know, happening with gorillas or lions or any other animal that have these weird characteristics that appear out of nowhere. You see them for a short time and then they disappear. It's only this particular kind of, you know, formerly flesh and blood kind of humanoid character. So anyhow, shall I go on to the next one?
Yeah, most definitely.
So there's this place south of Eugene, Oregon, where for some reason out of nowhere, one of these hot spots emerged when a rather ordinary guy who was a contractor moved to this location to be near his grandchildren and started having these amazing collection of things happening there. And it seemed to center around a large metal shed of all things, one corner. And they were getting constant, and we got some videos that they shot on their cell phone of as they call them now, unexplained aerial phenomena at night. They had plenty of do you know what gifting is? I keep saying, do you know that? So gifting is where you put things out and maybe something's playing with you and they'll replace it with something else, move things around on a particular location where you're kind of playing games with whatever it is that you're playing games with. So plenty of that going on. Weird stuff showing up, shells from 150 years, bullet shells from 150 years ago, all sorts of strange things. And then there are these things where you have a recorder, an audio recorder, and you pick up sounds that you don't hear when you're recording.
EMPs?
Yeah, EMPs. They were getting these incredible EMPs of voices of women speaking in weird languages. And then at one point, they picked up in one of those voices, the people that lived there moved away. Their son committed suicide on a particular day. And they heard, what are the E? I always keep remembering how to pronounce it. You know, what's that word, the E? What's the name for that phenomenon, electronic voice thing you hear? You just said it.
Oh, EMPs.
EMPs, they got one that said, I'm dead. And then on that same day, these chalky child handprints were embedded on the inside the house of the person who owns the shed. And they got photographs of them.
Oh, wow.
And they're kind of blue and small.
Wow, that's incredible. It's quite odd because it seems to be these places, like you said, they are these just hot pockets of info.
Yeah, and so the other thing that's crazy is that when they sit out at night inside the shed, there's the most incredible ruckus of knocking and cracking and banging and like somebody's going crazy inside there, yet nothing has ever moved. And they recorded these this stuff. They put a microphone inside and recorded it. And they could play all this stuff back. So we wanted to say, well, maybe we can get somebody in there and they'll do it for us. So we started out that evening and we all sat outside and we had they put the recorder on and then ran a wire out. So we had a speaker outside so we could hear what was going on inside. And after maybe about an hour, some knocking and banging began to occur. And the guy who was doing the investigation, Tobe Johnson, he knocked on the side of the shed and they got responses. So one by one, we went into the shed with our cameras, and pretty much nothing happened until my co-producer, who's the big researcher of Bigfoot, and kind of had a lot of experiences. The sound started occurring when he was in there. He had his own camera with infrared, so you could see that he was filming. And the knocking and rapping and all that was taking place. He said there was nothing happening inside, and he filmed. And he said he felt this powerful presence come over him, kind of cold, like it was a creature. And yet, you know, we could hear outside and inside because he had audio on his camera. This knocking was going on, and there was no evidence that anything was knocking. Nothing was moving. So we captured that. Those are the two big things we captured. And all this stuff was happening in this one spot, which was another paranormal hotspot. And then they got Bigfoot handprints, and they got Bigfoot knee prints, but never really saw a Bigfoot. So that was cool. And that's an important part of the phenomena I'm talking about, that there are these paranormal hotspots that indicate that maybe all these phenomena that were studied separately should be studied together. They're all one thing in some sense.
Yeah, and that's going to be my next question for you, is that do you think there seems to be a bit of a relationship between, let's say, Bigfoot, orbs, and the paranormal?
Absolutely. That's the hypothesis I'm working with and putting forward in the movie.
Because it's really not uncommon to hear of, say, Bigfoot encounters and even Yowie encounters down here in Australia, where someone will experience Yowie-like activity or witness a Yowie, and then they will also see glowing orbs in the vicinity as well.
Yep. So more and more reports of that. And I think people can start investigating these hotspots where they're showing up. But you know, it's a minority point of view, because most people in the Bigfoot community still think there are these flesh and blood hairy creatures and alien people who like to talk about their UFO experiences, don't like to tie them into the paranormal, or ghosts and ghost hunters don't like to tie them into, you know, aliens and all that sort of stuff. So somehow or another, I think they all got to come together. And I think they're all probably part of some form of non-human intelligence that is either messing with us for some reason or hopefully for a positive reason.
And that's what's so great about these events or encounters, is that everyone has a unique version of it and no two are ever really the same. So there could be so many different possibilities that lead to it that make all of these theories, you know, just as viable as the next one, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, so my next thing is probably to go and look at a few more of these paranormal hotspots. People seem to know where they are, and see if there's greater truth behind what I just said, some way to substantiate or validate it. And I think a lot of these encounters, I don't know about yours, but mine was certainly a very positive kind of awakening, kind of expanding, you know, the possibility of what's out there.
And you know, I hear that a lot. A lot of these people who have these encounters with the paranormal or Bigfoot or UFOs, they seem to generally walk away with a positive outcome from it. It's very rare that I will get someone who has something terrible happen to them or something terrible come from their encounters. So yeah, it's usually a positive outcome, which is really great. And that lets people talk about that type of stuff a lot easier, in my opinion.
Yeah. So people are coming out of the closet.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And there just seems to be a whole lot more, I guess you could say, disclosure around this thing, but it just seems to be a lot more welcomed in today's society to talk about this type of stuff.
Yeah. And I think a lot of them are kind of like spiritual awakenings for people. Yeah, man. Like an acid trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, mate, before I let you shoot off tonight, on your, I guess, Bigfoot journey or your filmmaking journey, have you seen things that people won't admit to on camera?
I've heard people, I mean, have I asked them to go on camera and tell me things?
Or have you even just run into other filmmakers who have experienced things that they don't want to share?
Probably the most interesting example is that there was a highly successful series on Animal Planet called Finding Bigfoot. It ran for 9 years. But part of the Bible on the show was, of course, they're never going to find Bigfoot because that'd be the end of the series, right?
Yeah, correct.
Secondly, they weren't allowed to ever talk about or find or even have the possibility of paranormal Bigfoot. It was always going to be a flesh and blood. It was never going to be anything other than that. But when I did an interview with Bobo, who was kind of the funny guy of the group, he said, well, of course we had these kind of paranormal experiences. One time we were just sitting around the campfire, and here was this crunching kind of cloaking creature walking. You could hear it walking as plain as day, carrying an orb, as if it were carrying an orb right in front of us. And he said, I've had other direct experiences with paranormal Bigfoot, but he said, we could never, now that the series is dead, I can say this.
That's incredible.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's a kind of new, open, fun world, I think. And I think it's all good. I mean, it's hard to believe that there aren't other kinds of non-human intelligences and that they've been here and are here right now in some way that's different than the way, let's say, you might be here.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's all different frequencies. It's all different spectrums. There's so many different ways things can exist.
Yeah, I did an interview with Stan Friedman, who's probably the best-known UFOologist, and he's come around to that view, too, that the search of SETI for radio waves is just stupid and that's not the way they're going to appear to us and are appearing to us.
It really is an interesting type of phenomena, and there's just so many different ways to look at it, and I think that's the best part of it.
Yeah, you just got to open your mind and hope you have your own experience like you did.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But Ron, where can people find your work?
Well, you can find Chasing Bigfoot. It's an older series now. You can find that on Amazon Prime. But the book is available on Amazon itself as a book you could buy. I'd love people to go buy and give it a good review.
And we'll leave links for all of those in the show notes as well. And we'll also leave a link to your YouTube channel in there too. So if anyone wants to go check out that amazing fairy footage that you've captured, they'll be able to check that out.
And we should have the movie done possibly, well, it's only by the end of this month. So if you know anybody who wants to bring me over and screen it, I'd be happy to come and visit you guys.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe. And you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.